Good morning, church. Everybody good? I guarantee you a good sermon today, because I'm not preaching. Lori, don't you say a word over there either. Woohoo! Yeah. Okay, so I want to read to you some entries of 1 week of John Wesley's journal. Are you ready? You know who John Wesley was, right? Sunday morning, May the 5th, preached at St. Anne's, was asked not to come back anymore. You know what John Wesley's, what the reason the organized structured church didn't like him? Because he thought poor people should be able to come into church. Sunday p.m., May the 5th, preached at St. John's, deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday a.m., May the 12th, preached at St. Jude's, can't go back there either. Sunday p.m., May the 12th, preached at St. George's, kicked out again. Sunday a.m., May the 19th, preached at St. somebody else's. Deacons called special meeting and said I couldn't return. Sunday p.m., May the 19th, preached on the street, kicked off the street. Sunday a.m., May the 26th, preached in Meadow, chased out of Meadow as bull was turned loose during the service. So, don't even get any ideas, Brad. Sunday a.m., June the 2nd, preached out at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday p.m., June the 2nd, afternoon service, preached in a pasture, 10,000 people came to hear me. Stay the course, church. We have a message that needs to be heard. We have good news. That's what, there's a reason they call it good news. Did you know that? The gospel is good news. And you may run into a few of those times when people don't want to hear it. Stay the course. You have a message of life. Let's invite the Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we thank you for the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have entrusted us with that message. May we be faithful ministers. May we be faithful messengers. Lord, we love you. Would you send your Spirit? Would you open our hearts and our minds to you today? Pray for Marv as he brings your word. We love you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. Rise if you're able. Let's worship.
You are where my help is from. I lift my eyes. the maker of heaven and earth. You are where my help is from. I lift my eyes to the mountains above. You are where my help is from. I lift my eyes to the maker of heaven and earth. You are where my help is from. There is wonder working power, Holy Spirit power, great redeeming power, power in the name, resurrection power, bondage breaking power, power in His name, there's power in His name, there's wonder working power, Holy Spirit power, great redeeming power, power in the name, resurrection power. Who will never fail.
Amen. You may be seated. If the children would come forward and see Miss Carlin.
Some more coming over there. Wait a few more coming up. Hey, boys. How are you? Hey, girls. Good to see everybody this morning. Everybody's so quiet this morning. Well, it's so good to see you. Has everybody had a great week? Yes. Okay. All right. Okay. Are you sure? All right. I know. It's a lot of things going on this week, right? Last couple of weeks, right? All right. So, I had a great week. I was going to tell you what I did this last week. So, this last week, my husband and I, Billy, we took a camping trip. Who likes to go camping? Do you camp in a tent or in a trailer? A trailer, yeah. We used to camp in tents, but we have... Oh, you like a tent? Okay. You like a tent too? Okay. Abby, you're going to tell you she wants to go camping in a tent, okay? So we went to this place that was 5 hours away. It was 320 miles. That's a long trip, isn't it? We went to a place called Fort Davis, up in the Davis Mountains. Oh, has anybody ever been out there? No, it's really far out there. You keep driving and you keep going and you keep going. You know, Texas is pretty big, right? Yeah. We drove and drove. So while we were out there camping with our friends, we went to a place called the McDonald Observatory. Ooh. Do you know what the word observatory means? It's a big word, isn't it? Think about it. Yes, Claire. Observe, yes. You're looking at something, right? Okay, do you know what the observatory does? They look up at the sky. Oh, they have telescopes up there. They have 13 telescopes up there, and they have people living up there and astronomers and scientists looking at all the stars and planets and studying them. And so we went up there. And so there's this one telescope right here. It is 390 inches wide. Not the building, just the telescope that's inside the building. The little window opens, but it's 390 inches wide. And they look far, far, far up into the sky. Can you imagine what you would see? What do you think you would see out there? Stars? Other planets? That's right. You forgot? That's all right. Yeah, mostly stars and planets, right, and galaxies and all those things. So, yes. So, yes, Kinley? The moon. Yes, that's right. So, on Tuesday night, we got to go up there at night. And we got to go to this place. It's an amphitheater. It's an outdoor theater. And we got to look up in the heavens. And what do you think we saw when we were out there just at the top of the mountain? What did you think we saw up in the heavens? Did we see stars? Yeah. Do you think we saw 10 or 12 stars? No, we saw thousands and thousands of stars. Oh, man, it was beautiful up there. It was incredible just listening to, looking at the stars and seeing and just seeing those and just imagining that God created those, right? Yeah. And we can only see part of them. We can't see all the stars in the sky, can we? So, and then we got to look through some telescopes. And these were they had some really small telescopes, but I got to see the planet Jupiter. I know. And Jupiter has looks like little circles that look like bacon. It really looks like bacon. Yeah. So it was really amazing that I got to see that. And I can't see it from the Earth. I can't see it while I'm here. But that telescope could see it. So, and as I was looking at those planets and those stars, I was reminded that God is big. And He created all those amazing stars and the planets and everything in the heavens and everything on Earth, didn't He? Yeah, and then I was wondering, think I could count these stars? Do you think we could count these stars?
No,
you don't think so?
We can count them.
Right, so yeah. So I wanted to know about how many stars were just in our Milky Way galaxy. And I looked it up, used my computer. And there's up to 400 billion stars just in the Milky Way galaxy. I know. And I don't know a lot about science, but we're just part of the Milky Way, and there's other kind of galaxies out there. And so, yeah. So, and if you wanted to try to count those stars, do you know how long it would take you to count those stars?
A long time.
It would actually take you, it would take you longer. It would take you 3,168 years to count those stars. What if you lost count? I was wondering, if I lost count, would I have to start all over? Yes, I would, and I don't know that I would want to be counting stars. It starts again, that's right. So, yeah. So, but I'm going to leave the counting to somebody else, not me. But do you know who counts the stars?
God.
God does. That's right. He counts every single star.
Without even messing up.
And do you know he has named each star?
What?
Yes. It says in Isaiah 20, it's in Isaiah 40, 26, it says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one, and he calls them each by name. Isn't it amazing? Yes. And then it goes on to say, because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine God that counts? God can count billions and billions and trillions of stars, and he knows them by name. Is God, that's a big God, isn't he?
Yeah,
that's right. He's God. He remembers. But then God is big, and he knows the stars and he knows their names. But you know what else he knows? He knows your name. Did you know that? Yes. Is he going to forget your name?
No.
Does he know you? Does he know your hairs on your head? Yes. And you think about it. If he knows the hairs on our head, and if we got everybody in here and he has all of our hairs and all the stars, and he created all the world, that means God is big, isn't he? Yeah. God made us. That's right. God made us. That's right. God is bigger than anything we've ever seen or anything we can even imagine. God is so big. And because he knows us, he loves us, he cares about us, he's watching over us, he's with us. And so he wants to be important to us. We're important to him. Should he be important to us?
Yeah.
Yes, he should be important to us, right? So should we talk to him and read about him? Yes. And praise him and just love him, right? Yes. So because God needs to be important to us. So tonight, around probably about 9:30, go outside if you're still up, right? Okay. Go outside and look up at the heavens and the stars and think God knows their names. And God knows you. Can y'all do that tonight?
Yeah.
Okay, because God loves us so much. He knows us by name. And he calls us his children. All right, let's say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. And I thank you that you have put the stars in the heavens, Lord. And I thank you that you count them and you know them. And that you know each one of us by name. And that you love us so much, Lord. And we thank you that you sent your son, Jesus, for each one of us, Lord. Just bless our day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go. Come on, boys.
Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. Good to have you worshiping with us online. I encourage you to go ahead and check into the service you're attending, either in the building or online. Next thing on the calendar is Vacation Bible School. We're, I don't know, 4 weeks away, I guess. Lots of preparation still going on, and have room for lots of kids and grandkids, and also still need some servants. So if you're able to dedicate some time that week, go ahead and register either through the website or through the app. And I think there's a QR code in your bulletin. You can scan that And you can register that way as well. If you're able, let's stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. So as Carly mentioned, we had the opportunity to get away this week. Jeff, thank you so much for doing that. Did we ask for permission? I can't remember. Oh, we forgot. So anyway, but he's a gracious pastor, gracious boss. And so spent 4.5 days in our little 20-foot travel trailer, kind of got tired of each other, so we come on back. But it was a great time. And she mentioned the trip to the observatory, really a fascinating place. A lot of things I did not know. I think there's 12 plus telescopes on site. The largest one is the second largest one in the world. And different nations, institutions, more different segments of the astronomy world, they actually bid to have the people that run the telescopes to do research for them. And so it's a bid process. And he said, this guy that gave us our tour, he said they operate 24/7. And so they're just looking. If a nation says, I want you to focus in on this galaxy, then if they win the bid, they'll do that. Really a fascinating process. But this young man that gave us a tour, he was probably 25, 26, just brilliant, brilliant, just really gifted in public speaking. And he was, I don't know if he was going off the script or if this was really his conviction, but he talked about the Earth, was formed, 6 billion years ago or whatever, and things evolved, and there was a big bang. He said that they have discovered that the planets, galaxies, black holes, all of those are moving away from each other at an enormous rate of speed, anywhere from 500,000 miles an hour to 54 million miles an hour. And right now, their main research, in-house research, is they're trying to figure out what force is moving it away. And they call that dark energy, is what they call it. And I'm thinking, I know what that is. I don't think it's darkness. And again, I don't know if this was his conviction or if he's reading off the script, but it's probably hard for people in that world to just really realize God had something to do with this. And so it got me to thinking about, my personal life, the staff out there. There's 72 people that are there full time. About our nation, and God is not in the equation in a lot of circles. Today is a day that the president's cabinet set aside as a day of repentance and turning back to the Lord. It's Rededicate 250, which is the 250th anniversary of our nation. They're hosting an event at the National Mall from 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern time. Marv will speak into that, I believe, when he preaches some. And really what's on my heart this morning is to pray for this revelation that God is who he says he is. For me personally, maybe a deeper revelation, a revelation for you, a deeper revelation, maybe a first-time revelation, revelation for our nation. And, my heart breaks for those brilliant astronomers that if they don't know the Lord, they have letters after their names, you know, galore. And I think a lot of them are dismissing that God had something to do with creation and continues to hold all things together. So as I pray, I want you to just seek the Lord about somebody in your circle, somebody in your sphere of influence, maybe a family member or friend, that they need a fresh revelation of who God is. And I will pray as well. So just seek the Lord in your own prayer time as I pray. Father, we thank you for just for who you are. And Lord, gosh, it's just the vastness of your power and your authority. Just looking up into the sky, God, you flung those out there. And it wasn't some random chance. I mean, every one of those stars that we saw and didn't see has a name. None of them are lost. They don't escape your notice. And who are we, God, that you would be mindful of us? As I looked up, it's like, who is Billy Krim? That you would be mindful of me. Father, I need that revelation daily. I get so self-absorbed that I miss you. And Lord, you're so good to continue to pursue me, reach out to me. So Lord, I pray for that revelation, not just for myself, but everybody in this room. Deep, profound encounters with you. I pray that, Father, for our city. I pray that for the churches in our city. I pray that for our state and our nation. God, that we would turn back to our roots. Oh, Lord, reveal yourself. Stir us. Humble us, oh God. I pray that many turn to Christ for salvation. I pray for true repentance to take place. God, just guide our leaders, Lord. Protect them. I pray for peace. I pray for unity among the leadership of our nation. And Lord, I pray against evil that would lead us astray. I pray against the rulers, the authorities, the principalities, the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms. They're from all appearances, they're winning. God, you have the final say. And we trust you and we look to you. Lord, I pray blessings on our brother Marv as he shares the word, as he spends time in 2 Chronicles 7:14. God, I pray that that verse become a reality for us as the church, as your people. So move in our hearts this morning, Lord. And we love you for who you are. And we pray the prayer of Jesus you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you again, church, for your financial faithfulness. Electronic options are on the screen. Offering boxes are by the doors. If you need prayer this morning, please seek someone out. The prayer team, myself, our pastor, one of the retired pastors in the room, Brother Larry and Brother Marv. If I've missed anybody, I apologize. Let's dedicate the rest of this time to the glory of God as we continue to worship.
Through the void.
your presence, Lord.
Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be in the Lord's house today. It really is. And I thank Brother Jeff for the opportunity to proclaim the word today. It's always a privilege to be in this church and among these people. Y'all are home folks, and Diane and I are blessed by our chance to be with you week to week. Billy alluded to the Freedom 250, the Rededicate 250, which is today from I think it's from 9:30 this morning till 5 this evening, and I think you can find it pretty well on any YouTube channel that where you enter the words Rededicate 250. Would encourage you to be a part of it. You may not be able to participate for the whole day, but it would be good just in terms of the experience to be involved in something that really is a national thing. And we thank God for the fact that we have folks in our government that believe that, and believe that we are indeed one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Excuse me. I have a question. What if there are some things God either cannot or will not do until and unless people pray? What if there are some things that God either cannot or will not do until and unless people pray? Let's personalize it. What if there are things that God either cannot or will not do unless or until you and I pray? There was a neat film that I... Excuse me just a second. There was a film that was just recently in the theaters. I wanted to get a show of hands on it. How many of you got a chance to see A Great Awakening? A Great Awakening. I see a hand or two. A hand over here. Anybody? You dare not miss the opportunity to see it. Now it's moved from the theaters into the purchased situation. You can buy or rent it, but I would highly recommend that you see it. It is the story of one of John Wesley's contemporaries, George Whitefield, who was mightily used of God in the Second Great Awakening in the colonies, in the American colonies. And his encounter, his meeting up with Benjamin Franklin. You're familiar with Benjamin Franklin. You may not be familiar with the untold story of the two of them and the impact that Whitefield had in Franklin's life. And as a matter of fact, a speech that Benjamin Franklin made as vigorous debate was happening to adopt the Constitution, is definitely reflects his awareness of what God was doing in his life. He was a deist, one of those, you know, God winds up the clock and lets it run down type of thing. And he didn't believe in a personal God or a personal Jesus, personal Savior. But he was nudged just a little bit closer to that awareness in this time in his life. And this speech will actually tell you that. It says, "Mr. President, the small progress we've made after 4 or 5 weeks, close attendance and continued reasoning with each other, our different sentiments on almost every question, several of the last producing as many no's as ayes, is methinks a melancholy proof of the imperfection of the human understanding. We indeed seem to feel our own want of political wisdom since we have been running about in search of it. We've gone back to ancient history for models of government, examined the different forms of those republics, which having been formed with the seeds of their own dissolution, now no longer exist. And we have viewed modern states all around Europe, but find none of their constitutions suitable to our circumstances. In this situation of this assembly groping, as it were, in the dark to find political truth, and scarce able to distinguish it when it is presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of appealing to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understandings? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain," he's referring to the Revolutionary War, "when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. And have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance?" Benjamin concludes, "I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We've been assured, sir, that in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided by our own partial local interests. Our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to future age. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom and leave it to chance, war, and conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service." And let me tell you, folks, the reason there is a chaplain in the United States Senate is because of this motion. And the last one I remember powerfully is Barry Bonds. If you look him up on YouTube, you will be amazed at how God spoke through the prayers of that amazing gentleman. Well, we are indeed standing on broad shoulders, not only on Ben Franklin's quote, but also the prayer meeting of revival of 1857 to 59. You may not be aware of this at all, but this was a meeting that was known as a businessman's revival, and how one man's yes to partner with what God was doing in his generation led to a powerful revival, where it was estimated that within a year over 1 million people got saved. It was previous to the Civil War. It was It was a very difficult time in the life of the nation. There was a stirring for revival in the land. And in the wake of the preaching of Charles Finney, a guy by the name of Jeremiah Lanphier was converted. And after working in business for over 20 years, he got hired as a local missionary by the North Dutch Church on Fulton Street. He traded his big salary for one that was less than $1,000 a year. And God began to break Jeremiah's heart for the lost while he evangelized. He saw there was a great need for God in those days. And so one day, God gave him an inspired idea in how to reach the people. He decided to host a Wednesday prayer meeting for businessmen from 12 until 1 p.m. He passed out flyers and began to spread the word. He encouraged people to come, for no matter how long they were able to pull away, whether it was for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or more, he welcomed them to come and pray with him. And so on September 23rd, 1857, they had the first meeting. And when the day came, he was ready to welcome the other businessmen for a time of prayer. And at noon, there was only one person that was there. I leave it to you to guess who that person was. Jeremiah Lanphier. 12:10, still no one. 12:25, still no one. And nearly halfway through his first prayer meeting, he may have felt like a failure. He may have thought, maybe I didn't hear God correctly. But at the 12:30 day, the first businessman joined him for prayer, then another and another, until he had six people join him that first day. And so he saw that there was definitely a need for prayer. God was on it. He didn't despise the day of small beginnings, but he leaned into what God was doing. They planned another prayer gathering for the following Wednesday. This time 20 men came, then the following week 40. He had to move to a bigger room, and then on October 10th of 1857, the stock market crashed. People lost everything in a matter of moments, and so desperation for God began to increase. And soon these prayer meetings were not just weekly, but daily. In a short time, there were crowds of up to 3,000 people joining the Fulton Street prayer meeting. And so one of the six to attend the first meeting was a 21-year-old who had a passion to take the same fire for prayer to his hometown in Philadelphia. And his first meeting had 40, then 60, then 300, then 2,500. He had to finally get a tent to accommodate the overflowing crowds. In just 4 months, over 150,000 had prayed in that tent. It was made up of people from all different denominations. It was a layperson's revival. This was a prayer meeting for souls. This is a prayer meeting like you would have here if the Lord put that burden on your heart. Within a year, it is estimated that over 1 million people came to Christ. What might happen again today if just a few people set aside a little time each day, or even just an hour a week, to pray together for the lost, for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit in our day? I know we, as a body of Christ, we do have a gathering on Mondays at noon, and that would be an open invitation to any of you to come and be a part of that. Take a fresh look at what God may be doing in our midst. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. The Scottish poet Robert Burns said it this way: would some power give us the gift to see ourselves as others see us? This is a sermon about revival. Let's start with the word itself. You revive something when you bring it back to life. When God sends revival, the church wakes up. Or to give a more formal definition, revival is a sovereign act of God whereby he calls his backsliding people to repentance, faith, and new obedience to him. 50 years ago, in a lay witness mission here in Abilene, Texas, in April of 1970, lives were changed forever. And any time that the God decides to move It's not scheduled. It comes amazingly in response to prayer. I would love to meet with some of the folks in out of the church where we had this to figure out which one of them may have been a prayer warrior for that particular thing to happen. But our text comes from 2 Chronicles 7:14. It's probably the most famous verse on revival in the Bible. And I'd like you to read it with me. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and will heal their lands. So let's look at this. Consider what it says. First, the subject of revival. If my people who are called by my name. Well, friends, who do you think that is? Everybody within the sound of my voice, folks listening by way of media, if you call on the name of Jesus, if you name his name, you're the one. You are there. So if those who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Here are four conditions for that revival. Number one, humility. Humility. What is it? I think it maybe is just seeing your true condition before God. After all, pride is simply taking credit for things that I'm not really responsible for. When we start feeling too puffed up about ourselves, we need to remember 1 Corinthians 4:7. What do you have that you didn't receive? The answer is nothing. Not even Bill Gates can say, I did it by myself. Now, it took courage and ingenuity and commitment and perseverance to build his company and give him the credit that he deserves. But it's just remember this, that the strength to do the task, the intelligence to put things together and the skill to bring it all together and the courage to make it happen, where does that come from? From the hand of God. It is true that on one point, the only one that counts, there is no difference between the richest man and the poorest man. Both are alike the recipients of the grace of God. Neither one has anything to boast about. And so when we understand that, it changes the way we look at life. It changes the way we look at ourselves. And it changes the way we treat other people. If we are wise, it also changes our view of worldly success. We'll have time for people because we believe we are all created by the same God. So what kind of prayer is it that the Lord is talking about? It is a sincere prayer of a person who realizes his true condition. I will cry out to God when I understand everything comes as God's gift, then my prayers will be filled with gratitude. I will cry out to God considering how far I fall short of his divine standards. And every day I will remember the words of Jesus, without me, you can do nothing. The third phrase, seeking my face, has to do with the direction of your life. It's very similar to the fourth beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So to seek God's face is literally to hunger for a closer walk with God. Many of us know little of this because we too often fill our stomachs with spiritual junk food that never satisfies but keeps us from really seeking the nutritious food we need. The question is, what are you hungry for right now? Those who are hungry for God, to know God, seek one thing. Those who are hungry for a career, seek something else. What you are hungry for determines what you seek. So the fourth point is turning from our wicked ways. At some point, some things have to change. We must repent, which to repent means you turn from your wicked ways. You used to be lazy, but now you're not. You used to fill your mind with bitterness, but now you don't. Once you're angry most of the day, but now you've turned away from anger. Once you were sloppy on the job when the boss wasn't watching, but not anymore. Once you lived a party on the weekend, but that life is now part of your past. Whatever your wicked ways are, revival means turning from those ways to the ways that please God. It is a definite break with the past and a different change of direction. So if you think about it, these four conditions form a kind of progression. You will never pray with any fervency until you see your true condition before God. You will never seek God's face until you begin to get serious about prayer. You will never turn from your wicked ways until God becomes all important in your life. Humility leads to prayer. Prayer leads to seeking God's face. Seeking God's face leads to turning from our wicked ways. And then what are the results? Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. This verse lays out a plan for us to follow. The verb then encourages us to believe that our crying to God will never be in vain. Our tears are not in vain. Our prayers are not in vain. Our burden is not in vain. Our sadness is not in vain. Our desperation is not in vain. Perhaps we can say it this way: when we are so dissatisfied with the status quo, when we are so dissatisfied with the status quo that we cry out to God for help, the answer will indeed come from heaven and things will begin to change. Let me say that again. When we are so dissatisfied with the status quo that we cry out to God for help, the answer will indeed come from heaven and things will begin to change. Now, we must not limit God as to the how and the when, because he is the sovereign God who does whatever pleases him. We must not dictate to the Lord about how the answer is going to come from heaven. He will answer in his own time, in his own way, and according to his own will. But we have this assurance: he will hear, he will forgive, he will heal. And if we do our part, even though maybe in our own eyes it seems like it's very incomplete, God will certainly do his. If we humble ourselves and pray, if we seek his face, if we turn from our wicked ways, knowing all the while that while we still fall short, God will move from heaven to come to our aid. Do we have to stay the way we are? The answer is no, but we have to start by understanding the way we are. Once we see that, the possibility of genuine change and real spiritual growth is open to us. So I end where I began. Revival is not far away when we see ourselves as God sees us. It's easy to say America needs to get right with God, or my neighbor needs changing, or my church needs revival. These statements sometimes become excuses for evading our own responsibilities. The call of Christ is always personal. He calls us one by one to follow him. Perhaps we should repeat the Chinese prayer that goes this way: O Lord, change the world and begin with me. Revival begins with the person you see when you look in the mirror. Start there, and by God's grace, revival will begin inside your own heart. Make that prayer personal. If my people, not just my people, if Marv, or put your name in the blank, will humble themselves and pray and seek their face, seek God's face, and turn from their wicked ways, then God says, I will hear, I will forgive, I will heal. Seems that God is clearly calling his people everywhere to pray. As Matthew Henry said generations ago, whenever God is preparing to do something great in the earth, he first sets his people a praying. Truly something great from God must be at hand. The church is certainly praying as never before. Is God calling you to pray today? is God calling you to be open to what he wants to do in you? Well, would you join me as we pray together? Father God, if we are truly honest with ourselves, we see ourselves in this prayer. We realize that without you, Lord Jesus, we can't do anything. Not a thing at all. And we realize that we have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that we are hungry for the repentance that you give and for the new life you give. And so, Lord, help us to realize that if we, who are called by your name, humble ourselves, pray, seek your face, turn from our wicked ways, you will hear. There will be a new beginning in our lives starting from this very moment, that you will forgive our sins and you will heal our land. Lord God, grant it in this day, in this hour, in this moment, as we seek you with our whole heart. Thank you, Father, for the fact that you are able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think. For it's in Jesus' name we pray, and let the people of God say, amen, amen. Well, let's, with this last song that is sung, just allow the Lord to help you do an inventory. He wants to do something great in you, but he needs your willingness. He needs your willingness. Are you willing to come to him, to seek him? You can come here to the altar. I believe this side is for those who seek him. Which side is the one to seek? That these are individuals? No, or this is, okay, those who just want to spend time with God on your own, is this side of the altar. Those who want and desire those to come and pray with them is this side of the altar. Whichever side it is, don't put it off, friends. God is wanting to do something amazing in you if you will let him. Let's be in a spirit of prayer today.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing.
At noon, it still goes on. As long as your heart is hungry to know God and to come into a more loving and full and freeing and healing relationship with Him, it's still there. And I urge you, folks, don't let the opportunity pass until you've had a chance to come to Jesus in a fresh and new way. There are folks, Larry, I think, and Mike Matthews and Grace, others here, would be willing to pray with you before you leave today. Don't let lunch throw a monkey wrench into that. Whatever's there will wait. Compared to the worth of your soul and the future that you have, don't let that pass by. And for those of you who are online, seek us out by the texts on the screen or Jeff gives a personal email at the end that you can take advantage of. I urge you, don't let this moment pass. As you receive the benediction, Father God, I thank you that you are the God who never gives up on us, that there is nothing too hard for you. And so, Jesus, I pray that your Spirit will continue to strive with the hearts of those who are here and those who are online. Let them know how much you love them, how great your desire is to change and transform their lives. And Lord, just continue to strive mightily through your Spirit to continue to draw them closer to you. Thank you for the opportunity we have to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, and know for without a doubt that you will hear from heaven, that you will forgive our sins, and that you will heal us and heal our land. For we pray it in the name of Jesus, in his mighty name that is above every name. And let all the people of God say, amen. God bless you. Tell somebody. And have a great day.
Bless the Lord.
This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior, and wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.